Welcome back. It's Inside Agriculture. On a day where markets are closed, it's a federal holiday. Today, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Leading up to the holiday, Friday the 17th was a good day, huh, Randy?
It was a good day today. You know, we finished up with, you know, gains pretty much across the board. I think a little less rain in the forecast for Argentina helped push the corn and the soybean market. And, you know, we're continuing to see a little bit of technical support. I mean, last week's reports last Friday were friendly, and the market is still digesting a lot of that news.
Randy Martinson, Martinson Ag Risk Management. And thanks to Richland IFC, we get to visit with Mike Krueger once a week, no matter where in the world he is.
You know, what's interesting about this week is the other day when everything crashed, nobody had really a good idea. They blamed it on the fact that Trump was going to come in to be inaugurated next Monday, and that meant he'd throw tariffs against the Chinese and everyone else on Earth right away, and that would hurt exports. And then today, the chatter was that, Trump's going to get inaugurated on Monday, but he's been having at least one phone call, probably more than that, with President Xi of China, and that they decided maybe they can work this stuff out, and maybe they don't have to go to tariffs. So now then the market's, well, gee, that's pretty optimistic. So, you know, those people that ran for the hills 2 or 3 days ago were at least buying part of it back today in corn and beans. And interestingly, corn was the strongest. You know, corn's fundamentals are better than soybeans, and wheat, which can't do anything, has, in my mind, the best fundamentals of all, but it's probably going to be another 30 to 60 days before people figure out that Russia is going to have to slow or stop wheat exports.
Okay.
We don't know, and we don't know what he's going to put tariffs on. Of course, the fear is that if he throws tariffs on imported widgets or whatever, that then China would respond by buying all they could in terms of soybeans from Brazil. But they do that anyway, you know, so they can't buy every pound from Brazil. And in terms of Mexico, I think the threat that Mexico tries to find corn and wheat someplace else is bigger than China and soybeans, because Mexico's our biggest buyer of wheat and corn, and I don't think they can't walk away either, because the bulk of those purchases of corn and wheat from the U.S. go directly by these shuttle trains right through the U.S., across the border, into large, sophisticated poultry and livestock operations and flour mills. So talk is cheap, right? As you used to say, it takes money to buy whiskey, and they'd have to, if they were really going to not buy from us, or at least cut way back, they would have really pretty severe logistical troubles. They'd have to bring it in by ports, and they don't have a rail system to move it from ports to the interior. So, yeah, it's interesting, but the chatter, you know, at least keeps the markets rolling up and down every day. Well, you know, we're kind of back, in my opinion, to where we've been the last couple of years, where U.S. soybean supplies are going to be tight. Much, you know, not super tight, but 6 months ago, people thought we'd have 1 billion bushels of soybean carryout. Now it's back down to what it was a year ago, 360, 370 million bushels. And the opposite story is in Brazil, where they're probably going to have a record crop. They've already started very early harvest, and they've got all kinds of soybeans on hand. So, you know, Brazil sits on a mountain of soybeans, and the farmers there have a little bit trouble at times selling them, and their basis levels are terrible. And here in the U.S., we've had kind of just the opposite, mainly because we are crushing a record amount of soybeans every month, and that's being driven primarily by the exports of soybean oil to other people who are using that in biofuels, and by the ever-increasing consumption and production of renewable diesel in this country, which is made 100% of vegetable oil.
Increasing demand for U.S. soy, not just a matter of going overseas to talk with global customers, it is also about finding more uses for them at home. While innovation is a large part of what the United Soybean Board does to drive demand, it is a front burner issue this year, according to Rob Ewalt, USB board member and Iowa farmer.
We have some great opportunities domestically on the soybeans and in demand, and I think some of the things that maybe our membership doesn't realize is where some of the soy oil, some of this hyaluronic oil is going. We have some great partnerships with some companies that are putting it into like chainsaw oil and different types of lubricants like that. We also have a thing really developing in the dairy industry when it comes to hyaluronic soybeans and feeding the whole bean or a roasted bean to those dairy cows and really improving the quality of the milk and the component pricing. So that is a big, big driver right now that we're looking at. And obviously we need to do some more research and some more studies into that, but it really shows promising for those farmers that would be growing in big dairy areas. I think it really could be a game changer for them.
When profit margins are stretched this thin, farmers may wonder what good they are seeing from their soybean checkoff. That's another dollar coming out of their pocketbooks, and there's no crime in wanting to make sure your investment works for your operation. Ewald talks about the latest study that was just released on the ROI of the soy checkoff.
You know, we're required by the act and the order that we have to do an economic evaluation every 4 to 5 years, and we just had one come out, and it shows that for every dollar that we're spending of the checkoff, that it's returning us about $12.30, which is a great return. I mean, I think any farmer would love to take that as a return. So it is working. Some people might question that number, but it's the best stuff that we have to work with, and I'm going to rely on the economists that are doing that.
Ewald says USB is looking forward to the 2025 growing season. Thoughts on markets and marketing on this day off from the futures trade. This is Inside Agriculture. We've got the cold, hard facts on the weather next.